Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to finish up what I started here several weeks ago. I took a break from it last Wednesday because it's the day before Thanksgiving, and I want to talk about something else. But I want to talk about relationships again tonight and finish up something that I started here a couple weeks ago, talking about conflicts in relationship. Once again, I won't ask for any hands, but I want you to think in your life, have you ever had a conflict in a relationship? And if we were all honest, we'd say, well, of course we have. Probably, if we were honest, we could even look back and see where it was a conflict with Christian people. And there are times we can look back and say, and it was not only with Christian people, but it was in church. And so I really am about trying to take care of problems and issues and things on the front end than I am the back end. I've always been a big advocate of that. And I like to teach our leadership these principles because I think it's important that we know that conflict is inevitable. Because when you're dealing with people in a fallen world, it's one of the devil's biggest tools that he can get into people to put their attention on something other than God. And conflict does that. It's just really difficult when you're in the middle of a horrible conflict to get your mind on anything else. You just can't get it off of that. And that's where it hangs out, and that's where it stays. So what I want to do tonight is I want to continue on and finish up what I've been talking about so that if the devil has any attempt, which I know he'll try, to come in and frustrate somebody or two people, maybe in your own family, maybe in the church family. And I don't want things to get out of hand. It's not that conflict can't ever happen. And I'm not preaching against one right now because I don't know of one going on in the church. That's why I said I'm ahead of the game. I'm not, well, he must be talking about, no, I ain't talking about nothing that's going on in our church right now. So you just need to know that. I'm talking about it right now so that when the devil tries to make something come up, we've got some tools and we're equipped to be able to get ourselves through it and get to the other side of that because we got it on the front end. Romans 12, verse 18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. I just really like that verse. Because when I have someone come in telling me about the problems that so-and-so is causing, this is what they're doing. This is what I always want to do is be able to go back to this verse and say, whoa, wait a minute here. The verse says, do all you can do to live at peace. But everybody wants to fix the other person. I mean, that's the way we are in human nature. I want to fix all their problems. But this says, do all you can do to live at peace. And sometimes people are going to do things and they're going to make decisions and you're not going to be happy about them, but we've got to do all we can to live at peace. And so we got to learn about how to do that. Verse 19, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. The scripture says, I'll take revenge, I'll pay him back, says the Lord. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And the next verse that we've been sharing is Proverbs. Proverbs 13:10. You got to make sure and understand this one. Where there is conflict, where there is strife, depending on which version you are reading, there is pride. Where there is strife, there is pride. I don't care what the situation is. Where there is conflict, you can just know there's pride. Well, I wonder what's causing this pride. What's causing this pride? Wonder why they're acting pride. There's no need to, where there is conflict, there's pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. And I like that because oftentimes we, right in the middle of something, need an outward perspective to get right thinking. An outward perspective sometimes would be the Lord looking at the situation and getting some advice from Him and from what He would have to say. And sometimes He uses the Holy Spirit to speak to people through people. And so there are times that we need to get advice, and that's how we get our wisdom. Last week we started talking about the need in Christians' lives for conflict resolution. A couple weeks ago we talked about it. Conflict in relationships, and we talked about the cause. Well, why do I know that the thought, because it kind of came to my mind as I was talking about it, why do we have to talk about the cause for conflict? I think it's the same reason you've got to talk about the cause for anything that's destroying you. Because if you don't know what the cause is, you're likely to repeat it. So we've talked about the causes, and we talked about six of them, and we spent a couple weeks on them. Spiritual issues, single issue people. If you didn't get these, you need to go back and listen to the podcast on these. A divisive person can be the cause of a conflict. You know, a hurt person can cause conflict. Hurt people hurt people. You just always know that. The fifth one we talked about was political people, people who just want the power, or they want the title, or they want everybody looking at them so they can be the one to make the decision. And then the last thing we talked about, and we spent a lot of time here a couple weeks ago, the last time we were talking on this, and that is poor judgment. Poor judgment. People just not really making a wise move. That was poor judgment on their part. They didn't really look that all the way through. They just made some bad judgment. And then we ended what we talked about in the second part of this series, talking about the first stage of a sliding relationship conflict. This is the stage that we get into when we recognize there's a conflict. In any marriage, in any friendship, in young people, we all go through this first stage. And how you handle the first stage will make a decision on whether or not this thing slides on down and gets to a place where you're like, whoa, why did the Bible say don't take revenge? Because if you don't get this covered in the first stage, you're going to get to a stage of revenge. You're going to get to a stage. And so we've got to make sure, as we talked about the first stage, we get the remedy in the first stage. Because when there's a conflict, you're going to go through some things. The first one is you're going to recognize, oh, there's a problem. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But you say something to someone and they say something back and you're like, hello. Hi. Hi, how are you? Fine. That's a recognition that people have. Sometimes they recognize it as wrong. Sometimes there's something else going on in their life. But sometimes you're like, ooh, they got a problem with me. I've heard that a lot. A lot. In the time that Christian Ministries has been here, I've heard a lot of, so-and-so don't like me. Really? They don't like you. Why? I don't know. But I can tell you there's a problem there. See, if you're going to get into this remedy stage, you got to find out, you got to recognize there's a problem here. And most of the time I've said, if you talk to them, and they usually, the number one answer there is no. Well, why not? Because there's a problem. Well, the first way to get an understanding of what the problem is, you've recognized that there is one. I'm just concerned because I know that there's a problem. Oh, so you know why they talk to you that way. And the more you kind of dive in, you can start finding some things. Well, if you'll dive into your own mind, you can start seeing when there's a problem and there's a conflict in a relationship, you recognize that. And here's what happens. The reason people don't want to talk is because they know they're going to disagree on a solution. And so in the remedy stage, you recognize there's a problem, and you also recognize that you're thinking different than the other person is on that. That's the second point in the remedy stage, a disagreement on how to solve it. But here's the cool thing in the remedy stage. Even though you may disagree on how to solve it, you get committed to solve it. You decide, we're going to get this fixed. We're going to get this fixed, and both of you get on that page, and you get a belief that you're going to get through this, and you start getting a sense of hope, a sense of optimism. We're going to get through this thing, and then honest communication, and you start watching this conflict start being resolved, and it's not an issue no more, and you can know the next time you see them and you say something, or you're hello, and the communication's there, you can see nobody's putting up a wall, and they're like, yeah, I'm doing really good. Come on, everybody here has been in a conflict that you saw that was an issue. You got a remedy for it. That's the greatest place for us to be in, and I'm going to get more specific later on how we do that. The problem here is, and I want to recognize that this can be an issue, and it takes place in a lot of churches. Again, I've been counseling some churches that are dealing with some conflict right now, and they're looking for the resolution. The problem is they didn't get it taken care of in the remedy stage, and they just kind of slid right on in to the repositioning stage. That's number two. Reposition. Repositioning stage says, who's at fault here? Who caused this problem? This is where the fingers begin to point. Once again, this is a Wednesday night study. And the reason I'm talking about this is because as I was praying about delivering this message, it was really initially in my heart to talk to our staff about this so that they'd know how to handle that. And I thought, no, the church needs to hear all of this. The church needs to hear this. This isn't just the staff issue. Every one of us deal with conflict resolution and we want the resolution for it, so let's talk through it. The second stage here, the repositioning stage, fingers start to point. And I just don't ever want to see that here. I want to get ahead of the game because I don't like people pointing fingers at people. I've had fingers pointed at me. I really have. I've had someone right in my face saying, who died and made you king? That is not ever fun. You're not, oh, that's a nice statement. Are you going to give me a hug right after that? That's not what I said, by the way. That wouldn't probably promote resolution. How does that happen? It happens because there is one side that has put themselves in a position to say, I'm not going to get on your page. And see, if you don't get this remedy stage, things taken care of there, you'll see this repositioning. It just becomes a bigger problem than just two people are having. They start ganging people up and they start trying to get people on their side. The focus shifts from solving the problem to protecting oneself. See, that's what happens. People are nervous in this stage. They feel tension. They feel anxiety. There's a low trust level. They're generalizing everything. They repeat stages like, there's just a lot of problems here. There's just a lot of problems. There's just been a lot of hurt feelings. I hear that a lot with people who've been hurt, especially in God's house. Just a lot of hurt feelings. I've just been really hurt. I can tell you that anytime that statement is made, they had to take a position. They were forced to take a position in their mind or whatever, but there wasn't a resolution they could see, and that repositioning stage, they had to get on a position. Communication is not clear. In this stage, we're cautious about what we say, who we say it to, when we say it, because we're beginning to position ourselves to protect ourselves. Let me take that a step further. Sometimes it's not just to protect ourselves, it's to protect our family. We got to take this. I've got to protect what's going on because this is becoming real. See, each stage that conflicts don't get settled, they just get bigger and the casualties become more. And the heart of this pastor is I don't want the devil to take one more Christian person out because of conflict. It bugs the fire out of me. I hate it when, I hate is in my heart towards sin. And a hate is in my heart towards the enemy. And a love is in my heart for God. And see, I think it's okay to have a disdain. Oh, Adam, you messed me up. There has got to be in the heart of God's people a desire to not let conflict ruin what God has. There's got to be a heart in God's people for that. The bigger the casualties, the bigger the conflict. The bigger the conflict, the bigger the casualties. I don't want God's people being taken out. There may be some maturity in the Christian faith that when they're in conflict, they're not going to leave God. But there's a lot of people who aren't that mature in the faith and they get in this position to where they got to take a side. Next thing they start thinking is, I'm not going to church. And I have seen it happen time and time again. People, because of conflict in the church, start saying that God is not going to be something that they're going to experience in the church. Not saying they're going to ignore God, but they're going to ignore the church. And that's not the way God intended it. The third stage that we kind of slide into is the personal rights stage. Personal rights. This is the stage that says, I'm right and you're wrong. And you just know that. I'm right and you're wrong. They are wrong. They are wrong. I'm the good person who has the only possible answer. And people start taking sides. People are labeled. The old timers against the new people. I've seen that in church. The people using the hymns and the people who want the slides. Seen it. All of a sudden, this conflict in God's house. It's funny how you never hear anyone say, I just think we have a carnal bunch of people who think like me. We just have a bunch of people who are in sin that are on my side. No, everybody's righteous on the side that you're on, and everybody's a heathen on the other side. I've seen this happen time. Well, we're praying that you'll just see the light because the way you're thinking is wrong. So that's what we end up saying, and that's the position we kind of put ourselves in. The focus shifts from solutions to winning the battle. We're going to win this battle. At stage one, we wanted to fix the problem, but now we want to fix a person. So we don't want to fix the problem anymore. We just want that person out of our life. We want to win. I want them to admit they were wrong. Communication is overstated, distorted. If conflict is not solved, we'll remove ourselves, which is the next stage. Number four is the removal stage. Now people are saying, let's get rid of those people. The characteristics of this stage are no people. The people are not, they're not satisfied with getting their own way. They got to get rid of the opposition. Or we're going to leave and start our own church. We're going to do something different. The goal is we want a divorce from that way of thinking. People are now in different camps. There's a clear leader that has now been defined in each camp. Church, hear me. I'm talking about this because I don't want to ever see that here. And if we can stop this and get it covered at the remedy stage, whatever it is, people have staked their territory. They have a leader, they have a banner, they have a flag, and they have a theme song. That's a little exaggeration, but you get the point. They have decided this is the way it's going to be. And we have a perception of the enemy, and we feel like that we're just going to have to take some people out. You're going to have some people going to have to leave. Something's going. Trust is gone. And if the conflict cannot get solved here, then we are removed. And we go to the number five stage, and the last one is the revenge stage. Now we not only want to get rid of people, but we want to make someone pay for this. You have caused harm to my family. You have hurt us. Come on, is anybody here hearing what I'm saying? Have you seen these stages just sliding and sliding? Everybody probably has them. Maybe it's not in church. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's here. Maybe it's in your own family. We feel like we got to go get a sacrificial lamb, and we forget that Jesus already was that. See, we're going to have to go get someone to take care of this. Jesus already did, and we forgot him. The characteristic of this stage, it's a conflict with position, and they just don't want a person to resign or remove themselves. They want them removed from the face of the earth. They want them out of here. I don't ever want to see them again. People become irrational, extreme in their dealings with those that they are against, and they'll both say that they believe in Jesus. The conflict has become a God issue to them. They feel like it'd be wrong to stop the conflict. The conflict goes out of bounds. It goes beyond reasonable ways to handle a problem. Thoughts of dealing with the conflict the way Jesus would handle it, oh, that's not even considered. Here is the meat of this whole message. So now we've talked about all of the things that cause it. We've talked about the stages of sliding and how it can get to where, oh no, how do we get here? How do you handle conflict in a constructive way? Why do we respond so wrong to conflict? Why do we as Christian people get so bent out of shape? Why does that happen? Well, I'm going to say the devil has a good way of convincing people that they're right. But I'm not going to put all this on the devil's shoulders. Perhaps we just have a lack of experience. Maybe there's some personal issues. Maybe there's a lack of training and education, and it's really all you know how to do. Praise God you're here tonight, because I want to give you a different way to respond. I want you to see conflict tonight from God's perspective. Take a higher view. Jesus came to tear down the walls of hostility. He did. Conflict brings out the worst in each of us. And one of the first things that goes in the heat of conflict is perspective. I love talking to someone who's in a conflict. I really do. It's one of my heart, because I know that they are in a position where they have a hard time seeing it from another perspective. I have never had one person come and tell me about a conflict in their relationship, and then I just look at that, either their relationship in their marriage or relationship with someone or relationship with their kids. I've never had one person that come in and I say, is the other person saved, that I don't know that there's another perspective. When you're in the middle of a conflict, you've got to know there's another perspective besides yours. Somebody else is seeing it different than you're seeing it. Conflict, we've got to get a God perspective from His Word, and we've got to get His voice. If you right now are going, you know what? Pastor's kind of just reading some of my mail right now. He knows what's going on. I'm telling you, I don't. You can believe that or not, but I don't. Here's what I can tell you. God knows. I don't have a clue, but God knows. And here's what He's wanting you to do. He's wanting you to come to Him and start praying and start saying, God, what can I do to bring peace into this situation? That's God's perspective. Because, you know, He gave everybody free will, and you got a choice to be thinking wrong or be thinking right. And it's not a matter of how you feel. It's a matter of what His Word says. So you got to see conflict from God's perspective. The second way in how you handle it is you start looking at yourself. Coping with difficult people is always a problem, especially when the difficult person is yourself. I'm just telling you, it's difficult being married if you're Michelle. You know why? Because she's got to deal with me. And what I can tell you is I have had to get the perspective to have a good marriage to realize I'm the problem here. That's not a good place for an amen. But I'm the problem here. And so when you start seeing that I'm going to handle this conflict and I'm going to look at what I can do different, you can start knowing you're on the right track. You're on the right track. The only way some people could ever have peace is if they could get away from themselves. But they're looking for peace to come from everything outside of them. And the only way peace is going to come is from the God who is inside of you. And you're going to have to let Him work from inside out. But people are always wanting to fix every problem from outside and getting it in. And it'll never work that way. You got to handle conflict by looking inward. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. What can you do? A Harvard University study of people fired showed that for every one person that was dismissed due to failure, due to work failure, to doing something wrong on the job, there were two dismissed because of personality factors. You know, most people that get fired don't get fired because they can't do the job. It's because nobody can work with them. Believe it or not, that's true. That's true. There is a law of the conflict, that there is the law of the conflict factor. It states this: if Bill and Sue causes a problem, and Bill and Bob cause a problem, and Bill and Jane cause a problem, and Bill and Sam cause a problem, then Bill is quite likely the real problem. What, did you get that? Bill was the common denominator in every one of those. I have countless times started talking to someone and they start telling me about the problem they had here and the problem they had here and the problem they had here and the and every one of them was different, but you know what the common denominator was? Them. When I start realizing I'm having a problem with this person, I'm having a problem with this person, I'm having a problem with this. Right here's the problem. You better start operating with a little more grace, Mr. Ellison. You better start operating with a little more passion towards them and what they're going through. Compassion, that's a hard one for me. You need, see, I mean, I can always go back and tell you the problem. If I'm going to get through it and provide peace in it, I can always know that it's got to be me seeing God in this situation and realizing that I've got to see myself. Number three, you need to deal immediately with misunderstandings. Don't let them build up. The reason we slide is because we keep letting them go and letting them go. Well, I've been thinking about talking to them. I've been thinking about, they've been doing this for, this is the third year I've dealt with that. That's stupidity if you say that. So what, that's just a lack of understanding. Letting something go and go and go and go, I'm about sick of it. I've married this person for 25 years and they've always done it. And now it's bothering you? No, it's just built up and I can't take it anymore. Let's go to number three here. Deal immediately with misunderstandings. Immediately. How do you do? Ephesians 4:26 says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That means get this taken care of. Don't let a conflict that's producing anger in you just keep building. Well, I'm going to shove it under the rug. I'm not going to think about it anymore. You'll think about it again because you didn't get it resolved. Fourth thing, speak truth with love and gentleness. Ephesians 4:15. Unresolved conflict is almost always an issue of attitude, not the issue itself. There are three types of people when it comes to truth. Let's just talk about three types of people briefly. There are hiders, people who don't share the truth. They're going to hide. They're not going to say anything. There are hurlers. Those are people who hurl the truth, but not in love. And there are healers. And those are the ones who share the truth in love. It's the gentle answer, you know, Proverbs 15:1, that turns away wrath. It's the gentle answer. But a harsh word, it says, stirs up anger. Number five, follow the scriptural approach for handling conflict. First, make sure you're dealing with facts, not guesses or hearsay. Well, I heard, here's what you said. Well, you heard wrong. That's not what I said. And it's amazing how something someone says, just the way you say it, can be perceived wrong. I said on Sunday, we're all gods. What did I just say? We are God's people. That's what I said. But that's not what all everybody heard. Somebody heard, we're not gods. There's only one God. We're not. Do you see how you can say one phrase? We're all gods. No, we're not. You're right. I'm sorry. That was a misquote. For if you heard that, I'm really sorry. That wasn't my intent. Do you realize how many times people say something and you heard it one way and that isn't at all what they meant? It happens from right here. Do you see how that could be? That's two totally different things. And I could use 100 other examples. That one just kind of was one I wrote down because I was laughing at it pretty hard after service with the Stowe family. So, or one side of the Stowe family. Here's the thing. Managing conflict, oftentimes we mess up because we don't give a scriptural approach to it. Deuteronomy 19:15, the people of God were not to convict anyone on the testimony of one witness. I think it's very important to know that. We make a decision on someone based on the testimony of ourselves, and that's it. And we're going to convict what they said, and we're going to say, that's not the way. I like that someone asked someone else, is that what he said? No. And then another witness confirmed something different, and then we got to take, I love that. I love that. There must be at least two witnesses, and it says three is better. And that's not to build, it's to make sure we understood what was going on and get the facts, and understand that we get the facts. Always make the initial confrontation that you have when a conflict is there private between you and the person involved. You never read this scripture, you need to write it down. Proverbs 25:9 says, debate your case with your neighbor and don't disclose the secret to another. I love that verse. Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another. Basically, it says, if you have a conflict, discuss the matter in private. Don't start taking sides, because when you start doing that, you're just sliding into another conflict that you're making the conflict bigger. You're making it bigger. You're starting to bring people on. Disclose the secret to no one. Go to your neighbor and debate the case. Now, a lot of people use Matthew 18:16, and I want to talk about that briefly tonight because everyone knows this scripture. It says to take one or two with you to further discuss an issue. And I don't think that's a bad idea. If you've got a problem, you go to the person. If it doesn't get resolved, the Bible says take two or three with you. I understand exactly what it says, but I want to make sure you get this. It says that you are to go to that person in Matthew when it's talking about that if they have sinned against you. A lot of people miss that. Well, they've sinned against me. No, that's not what people said. They offended me. That's the word I hear a lot. There is a difference between you having an emotional response and getting an offense that's built and someone sinning against you. And you need to know the difference, because a lot of people head way down the wrong path there. Well, I'm going to go to this person because that's what the Bible says to do. You need to make sure it was a sin against you. Otherwise, you go and get some conflict resolution, and you go talk to them and say, hey, here's what I was thinking. I know you were thinking something different. Let's see if we can't come to a resolution here, because I kind of think we ought to do it this way, and I think we ought to. But when you go to them and say, you have offended me, then what you are saying is something totally different than if you said you sinned against me and you call out a sin. That's a difference. What is sin? What is sin? Sin is something that separates you from God. So if someone sins against you, what they did against you separated them from the Lord, and your goal is to get them back reunited. Not to go make everything right with. It's a sin against you, and your hope for going to them is restoration for them. They sinned against you. Go to them to help them get that right. Sin is an act that goes against. Sin separates you. It goes against God. Sin goes against. Many things don't fall into that category. The color that they painted the wall doesn't fall into that category. Whether or not we're using a hymn or putting words up on a slide does not fall into that category. That person sinned against me. I can go on and use one thing after another. Whether or not we build a metal building or we build a wood stick building doesn't make any difference of what. That's not a sin against somebody. There's a difference of opinion there. Well, you offended me. You sinned against me. And we're going to come with a bunch of people. And we're going to. That's wrong thinking. And we've got a lot of conflict going on at church because we've misinterpreted scripture, and we're trying to build a crowd of people to go against someone who didn't sin in any way, shape, or form. If a person has sinned against you, then go to them. If that doesn't get fixed, then take someone with you. Just make sure the people that you're taking with you are on the same page, that this person has sinned and we're going to restore, we're not going to condemn. There may be some correction that's needed. And if that doesn't happen, then you go on and take it before the church. If the person continues to resist resolving a conflict, you may need to dissolve the relationship. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with that. All I can tell you is Amos 3:3 really freed me up. There is a lot of people who don't agree with some of the things that I do, where I go, and what, and they're great godly people. Really? Yeah. But here's what it says in Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they agree? Lest they agree. Can two walk together unless you're in agreement? You can't. Well, I want to go this way. Well, I don't. Well, I guess we're not going to walk together anymore. I don't know what to tell. If we're going to walk together, here's, well, I want to walk this way. I don't. Well, then where are you going? All right, I'll walk with you. See, and you work out that thing, and then you're able to walk together. But there are a lot of times that conflict brings you to a point of no one needs to get mad at the other person. It's just that's the way they're walking, and this is the way they're walking, and we can't walk together unless we're in agreement. You can't walk together if you're not in agreement. And we don't need to be condemning. We need to understand that's a correct approach in handling conflict. And there are times you need to do that. Young people need to get this. Parents, you need to teach this. Well, this is what they're doing and they want me to go. But how do I tell them no? Because they won't be my friend anymore. They can still be your friend. You're just not walking the same place. We're not going to the same place. I'm not going where they're going on Friday night. I'm not going to watch that movie. That's a movie that goes against what I believe. And they're going, and they don't want me to go, and I'm not going there. See, we can't walk together. Well, I can't go. Why can't I go? Because I don't agree, and you can't walk down the same path somebody unless you agree. Or somebody's going to get really frustrated, and then you're going to have more conflict. Number six and the last one tonight, manage conflict constructively by doing a list of do's. I looked up these when I was looking up some things, and I thought I got to share these tonight in closing. What we've got to do to manage conflict correctly, if we've got to agree first, do agree, a list of do's. Do agree on a time and place to talk some things out. Be careful about catching a person off guard. Coming up to talk to me about something you're frustrated with right before I'm getting ready to preach is probably not a good time for me. I'll just let you know that. Coming to talk to me about something you have a problem with Melanie right before she's got her 5-minute warning, she's trying to pray with everybody, leave her alone. Really? That's just mean. I got this problem. And you said take care of it before the sun's already down. You got till tomorrow night. Just wait. See, do agree on a time and place to talk through some things. Here's another do. Do assertively, honestly express your feelings and don't suppress them. You need to share what's on your heart. But you better be doing it in love. You better be doing it in love because you're a Christian. There are times you got to have some conflict resolution and you got to, this is another do, select a neutral referee. You know, if you're in a marriage conflict, you both need to agree on where you're going to get some help. You need a neutral referee. You need a neutral referee. Avoid going to your friends as the referee because you're just trying to make a little more of an advantage to what you're thinking. Do develop a positive, mature attitude. Avoid being negative. Avoid being vindictive. That's not the heart of a Christian. Do search for a solution when something goes wrong, and don't get so caught up on what's wrong without having an idea of how to make it right. Be solution-oriented. Be solution-oriented. Don't be blaming in a conflict. It doesn't ever produce anything. Do focus on specifics and simplifying the situation. Avoid exaggerating, generalizing what you consider to be the other person's wrong, and try to do this. Stay on topic. Ladies, you really need to hear this tonight. Don't bring 100 other different issues in. Stay on topic. Stay on topic. Stay on topic. It'll help you a bunch. Do be open, be available. Don't be silent. Don't try to be superior. Do affirm your responsibility. Don't blame everybody else. When problems arise, do work them out. Avoid walking out. Do listen, wait, learn, avoid presuming, assuming, and dominating. Avoid those things. See, do forgive and do your best to forget. We are an imperfect people. And sometimes it's really hard to forget. And I've oftentimes asked, Why does God have that ability and we don't? God, why can you forget my sins as far as the east is? Why can you do in your word what you say you do? And I just have such a hard time forgetting. Here's why I think that we sometimes are not able to forget. Because not being able to forget, we can remember how God saw us through that. And he'll do it again. But the reason that oftentimes I think that we don't forget is because we justify why we think the way. If you knew what I've been through, that's why I acted the way I acted. See, we're justifying because we can't forget. But I believe the reason we need to not forget is so that we can see how God moved supernaturally the last time something like that happened. And I'm believing he'll do it again. He'll do it again. That's what I'm going to believe. And we've got to get to a place where we go to God first. Go to God first and pray that God would reveal to you. God, I'm praying for the other person. Just supernaturally reveal to them how ignorant they are. That's not the prayer that God's looking. God, right now, would you speak to my heart? Would you help me? Would you help me move in a direction that would produce more for your kingdom? God, I'm knowing that you have a great plan here of restoration, and I know it's going to begin with me. And the Bible says real clear that when your enemy is in need, and if you've got a conflict with somebody and you're looking at someone as your enemy, you're going to think, boy, they're in need. They're in need of some right thinking. You're not going to give them right thinking because you're the enemy in their eyes. Feed them when they're hungry. Bless them. Encourage them. Do what you can to live at peace.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.